MBC 225, protein, chemistry and enzymology. Amino acids. Molecules of proteins less than 60 amino acids are referred to as oligopeptides. In the structure of an amino acid, you have the C, that is the carbon, the central carbon, which is known as the chiral carbon, which is also called the alpha carbon. It has a chain called the R side chain, the chain for hydrogen, the chain for carboxylic acid, and the chain for ammonia. So the chiral carbon indicates the possibility of optical rotativity. R could include OH group, sulfur atom, aromatic ring, which is benzene, and amino acid, example proline. The side chain, which is R, gives the amino acid identity. Amino acid can exist in the D or L configuration. However, living organisms use only the L isomer to assemble polypeptides. Amino acid exists as a dipolar ion or Zwitter ion at pH 7. Peptides and protein formation. Amino acids are joined by peptide bonds. The alpha carboxylate group of one amino acid condenses with the alpha amino group of another with the loss of water, and that reaction is known as condensation reaction. An amide bond, which is a covalent bond, is formed, and it is energy rich bond. The N-terminus is the free amino group, and the C-terminus is the carboxyl group at the opposite end. So what this place is talking about is about how peptides are formed. One amino acid combined with another amino acid. The alpha carboxylic group of one amino acid will condense with the alpha amino group of the other amino acid. That will lead to the loss of water. So that is a condensation reaction forming an amide bond, which is covalent bond. And we are saying that that bond is an energy-rich bond. And if you look at a polypeptide, the end of a polypeptide with the amino group, that amino group, that end point is called the N-terminus. Then the other end with the carboxylic group is called the C-terminus. So the peptide bond has a double bond character. Let's look at the four orders of protein structure. Number one, primary structure. This is the amino acid sequence, the order in which amino acids are joined together in a polypeptide chain. Number two, secondary structure. The folding of short 3 to 30 residues contiguous segment of polypeptide into geometrically ordered unit. This is the coiling of the primary structure to form helices and sheets. The helices are alpha helicals held together by hydrogen bonds. Disulfide bridges may also be present. The side chains, polar or nonpolar, of the amino acid are either inside or outside the helix. The polar is normally outside. That is, the part of the amino acid that reacts with water is always outside, while the nonpolar part is always inside. Beta-plated sheets is a sheet-like arrangement of multiple extended peptide chain. They are held together by hydrogen bonds in the different polypeptide strand. The sheets can be parallel or anti-parallel. Number three, tertiary, the tertiary structure. The overall three-dimensional arrangement of polypeptide chains. It takes care of the steric interactions between amino acids that are far apart in a linear sequence. It includes folding of the secondary element to give a biologically active molecule. The general folding is nonpolar in and polar out. That is how it always is to be. The structure of the tertiary protein is maintained by hydrophobic forces, salt bridges, hydrogen bonds, disulfide bonds, and van der Waal interactions. So let me go over that one again. The structure of the tertiary protein is maintained. That is, the forces that maintain that tertiary structure of the protein are hydrophobic forces, salt bridges, hydrogen bonds, disulfide bonds, and van der Waal interaction. There is no covalent interaction. Yeah, take note of that. There is no covalent bond. That's covalent interaction does not maintain, is not one of the factors that maintain the tertiary structure of a protein. It's also possible for a non-polypeptide bond to fold into multiple compact semi-independent domains or regions, with each domain having a characteristic property. Same sequence, but different domains. Domains are corrected by the polypeptide backbone structure. Number four, the quaternary structure. The specific non-covalent association of several polypeptide chains to form oligomers, e.g. you have the myosin and actin, globin and heme, rhodopsin and opsin, the structure is maintained by the same forces found in the tertiary structure. So that same forces I mentioned that are found in the tertiary structure is also the same forces that goes with the quaternary structure. Take note, no covalent association is involved here. Remember the forces I mentioned before, the hydrophobic forces, the salt bridges, hydrogen bonds, disulfide bonds, and van der Waal interactions. Take note that the quaternary protein structure, it is the active state of the protein. Let's look at the types of protein. One, we have the fibrous protein. Example of fibrous protein include collagen, elastin, alpha-elastin, tripomyosin. Fibrous proteins are the most abundant vertebral proteins. They provide mechanical support to individual cells and the entire organisms. Their structures are built on single repetitive amino acid. Their solubility in water is low. Number two, globular protein, a compact spherical molecule consisting of primary, secondary, and tertiary structure and quaternary structures. They have independent units, that is domains. They are soluble in the lipid phase of the cell. They are the primary agent of biological action in the cells, e.g. enzymes, hormones, immunoglobulins, myoglobin, blood protein, cytochromes, etc. The conformation of globular proteins are highly sensitive to environmental changes. Let's look at the molecular basis of protein structure. How is this protein formed from the DNA down to when it becomes a protein? So in the nuclear, inside the nuclear membrane, you have the DNA forming into genes. From there, it contains specific base sequence which represent codons for amino acid. From there, it is being transcribed to mRNA containing codon sequence of amino acid, being translated to protein, which is specific amino acid sequence. So, post-translational modification. Protein synthesis proceeds by peptide bond formation between two amino acids until a polypeptide chain is formed. The proteins are then modified by 1. Disulfide bond formation, 2. Addition of carbohydrate, glycoproteins, and lipids to form lipoproteins, 3. Hydroxylation of proline and lysine to hydroxyproline and hydroxylysine. 4. Phosphorylation of amino acid. 5. Attachment of a prosthetic group, either protein and non-protein compound that activate a protein. Its removal causes the loss of function of the protein. Let's look at protein functions. What are proteins used for in the body? 1. Enzymatic catalyst. 2. Transport and oxygen storage, hemoglobin and myoglobin. Example, stores oxygen in the muscles. That is, myoglobin stores oxygen in the muscles. 3. Coordinated proteins. That is, formed in, as muscles. Gene expression transcription factors. You have the low-density lipoproteins, transport cholesterol in blood. Proteins can function as cellular receptors and signal transduction. They can also function as immunoglobulin. They can function as hormones. They can function in vision. Example is the rhodopsin and opsin. They can function as protection. Example, fibrin. They can function in mechanical support. Example, collagen, etc. Determination of protein structure. Proteins and peptides must be purified before analysis and sequence determination. Some of the methods utilized include partition chromatography, size exclusion chromatography, adsorption chromatography, ion exchange chromatography, hydrophobic interaction chromatography, affinity chromatography, reverse phase high pressure chromatography, polyacetamine gel, that is PAGE, isoelectric fluorescence. Determination of polypeptide sequence. What are the steps involved when you want to determine the polypeptide sequence? 1. Purify the protein. 2. Cleavage of disulfide linkages by oxidizing with performic acid and reductive cleavage using beta-mercaptoethanol contains sulfur. After oxidizing the disulfide linkages to produce two or more polypeptide chains, the individual polypeptide must then be separated. 3. Determine the polypeptide chain. The polypeptide chain N groups. Only one N terminal and one C terminal group is detected if the protein is pure. The amino terminal amino acid can be identified by reacting with fluoride nitrobenzene. Subsequent acid hydrolysis releases a colored dinitrophenol labeled amino terminal amino acid, which can then be identified by its characteristic migration on thin layer chromatography or paper electrophoresis. A more sensitive method of N group determination involves the use of diazole chloride. The carboxyl N group determination chemical method includes treatment of the peptide with an hydroxyl hydrazine at 100 degrees Celsius, converting all the amino acid residue to amino acid hydrazine, except for the carboxyl terminal residue, which remains as the free amino acid and can't be isolated and identified chromatographically. Alternatively, the polypeptide can be subjected to limited breakdown, that is proteolysis, with the enzyme carboxyl peptidase. This results in the release of the carboxyl terminal amino acid as the major free amino acid reaction product. This results in the release of the C-terminal as the major free amino acid product, which can then be identified chromatographically. 4. Breakdown of the polypeptide chain into shorter, well-defined fragments for subsequent sequence analysis. This is called fragmentation and can be achieved using endopeptidase, which are enzymes that catalyze polypeptide chain cleavage at specific sites in the protein. Another specific chemical method for polypeptide chain cleavage involves reaction with cyanogen bromide. This reaction cleaves specifically at the methionine residue, with the accompanying conversion of free carboxyl terminal methionine to hormone serine lactone. After fragmentation, peptides resulting from the cleavage are separated by Coulomb chromatography, that's step 5. And then the isolated peptides are analyzed to determine both the amino acid composition and sequence. So sequence determination involves the stepwise removal and identification of successive amino acids from the polypeptide amino terminal by means of the Hedman's degradation. That is the definition of sequence determination. It involves the stepwise removal and identification of successive amino acids from the polypeptide amino terminal by means of the Hedman's degradation. This process is carried out by reacting the free amino terminal group with phenyl isothiocyanate to form a peptidyl phenyl thiocarbamide derivative. Gentle hydrolysis with HCl releases the amino terminal amino acid as a phenylhydratone, that is PTH derivative. The remaining intact peptide shortened by one amino acid is ready for further cycles of this procedure. Let me come again with that sentence. The remaining intact peptide shortened by one amino acid is ready for further cycles of this procedure. The PTH amino acid, the PTH meaning the phenylhydratone amino acid, can be identified by its properties on thin layer chromatography. Devices called sequelators are available that automate the Hedman's degradation procedure. Finally, after establishing the sequence of the individual peptides, it is necessary to establish how they are connected together in the intact protein, step 6. It is at this stage that we see why the preceding sequence analysis was performed on peptides obtained by two different specific cleavage methods. This approach makes it possible to put together the overlapping sequence because the two sets of results produce overlapping sequences, that is, the free amino acid and carboxy residues of peptides originally interconnected in the intact protein and liberated by one specific cleavage method recall in the internal sequences of the protein liberated by a second specific method. Once the protein sequence has been determined, the location of disulfide bonds in the intact protein can be established by repeating a specific enzymatic cleavage on another sample of the same protein in which the disulfide bonds have not been previously cleaved. Determination of protein structure using X-ray crystallography. X-ray crystallography is a biological technique used to reveal the detailed 3D structure of protein and other complex molecules. It does this through the growth of solid crystals of the molecule in question and X-ray diffraction of this crystallized form. Determination of the structure of a protein can help to also identify its function, mechanism of action, and active sites. There are three components in these techniques. 1, the protein crystal. 2, the X-ray source. 3, the screen or detector. To crystallize a protein, a pure protein sample must be obtained. Crystallization causes all parts of the protein atoms to be oriented in a fixed way in reference to one another while still maintaining their biological active conformation. After a pure protein sample is obtained, it is then precipitated. It is done by dissolving the protein in an apt solvent, that is water plus organic salt or water plus buffer if the protein is insoluble in either solution above. So if the solution or if the protein is insoluble in organic salt, you make use of water plus buffer. If it's insoluble in buffer, you make use of water plus organic salt. A detergent precipitation agent, e.g. sodium lauryl sulfate, is added. The solution is then super saturated by the addition of a salting out agent, reduces a molecule's solubility, such as ammonium sulfate, which allows it from highly organized crystals. The crystals are then shot with X-ray, resulting in penetration of the crystals by some of the X-ray and other dispersed on the screen. X-rays can be generated in four different ways. 1, by bombarding a metal salt with a beam of high energy electron. 2, by exposing a substance to a primary beam of X-ray to create a secondary beam of X-ray fluorescence. 3, from radioactive decay to get pure X-ray. 4, a synchrotron radiation source. Now, a synchrotron, what is a synchrotron? A cyclotron in which is an apparatus in which charge atomic and subatomic are accelerated by an alternating electric field while following a circular path in a magnetic field. The patterns seen on the screen are caused when diffracted rays interact or interfere with each other. This phenomenon is governed by Bragg's law. Bragg's law is 2D sine theta, which is equals to n times lambda, where d is equals to distance between two regions of electron density, theta is equals to the angle of diffraction, lambda is equals to the wavelength of diffracted ray, which is the x-ray, n is an integer. I come again with that Bragg's law. I said Bragg's law is equals to 2d sine theta, and 2d sine theta is equals to n times lambda. I said d is the distance between two regions of electron density, theta is the angle of diffraction, lambda is the wavelength of diffracted ray, which is x-ray, n is an integer. The amplitude of the diffracted x-ray is directly proportional to the number of electrons in the atom. The amplitude of the diffracted x-ray is directly proportional to the number of electrons in the atom. The beams reinforce one another at the film detector if the eye are in phase. If they are in phase, that is the constructive interference. The beams will cancel each other out if they are out of phase, that is destructive interference. Finally, an electron density map based on the measure intensity of the diffraction pattern on the film is constructed using a machine called Fourier transform. While interpreting the electron density map, resolution is taken into account and measured in Armstrong. Polypeptide chain is equal to 5 to 10 Armstrong. A group of atoms is equal to 3 to 4 Armstrong. Individual atom is equal to 1 to 1.5 Armstrong. Whole protein is equal to 2 Armstrong. X-rays are on the same wavelength with covalent bonds. This makes protein with them possible. The end. Hemoglobin and myoglobin, MBC 225, protein chemistry and enzymology. The oxygen transporting protein myoglobin and hemoglobin, they contain iron because of the heme prosthetic group. They perform key role in animals and have structures which is equals to functions. Let's talk about the hemoglobin first. The hemoglobin have a separate polypeptide chain. It is a tetramer of two identical alpha and beta chains. It's a globin alpha chain. It's a globin. The alpha chain wraps into a globin of seven alpha helical redox. Each alpha chain contains 141 amino acid, the beta chain. The beta chain consists of 8 alpha helical region of 146 amino acid. Each alpha and beta chains contain one heme group, and they possess multiple bonds. The surface region is rich in hydrophobic side chains. They fold together and pack in a highly specific manner to escape the surrounding water and give the quaternary structure of hemoglobin. Hydrogen bonds and salt bridges also help to hold the structure. Heme, a cyclic tetrapyrrole that has ferrous ion at the center of the pyrrole ring. Heme is wedged between E and F helixes. The proximal is histidine F8 and distal is histidine E7. This helps to hold the iron atom in place within the heme. The tetrapyrrole are methylene rings by four methylene bridges. Beta substituents of the heme are methyl vinyl propionate, that is MV, MVM, PPM. Heme is held tightly by the protein portion. Six ligands hold the iron in place by non-covalent interactions. Four of the ligands are the nitrogen atom of the porphyrin heme system. The fifth is proxima histidine F8, while the sixth is oxygen molecule. In deoxyhemoglobin, only five ligands are present. Now let's talk about the function of the hemoglobin. Hemoglobin is only found only within red blood cells. It is primarily to transport oxygen from high concentration in the lungs to the region of low concentration of oxygen, and some for carbon dioxide and protein from peripheral tissues to the lungs. Oxygen binding of hemoglobin. Hemoglobin plus oxygen is oxyhemoglobin. Hemoglobin can bind four molecules of oxygen at a time. The binding of an oxygen to deoxygenated hemoglobin leads to changes in the conformation of the three other subunits and thereby increasing their oxygen affinity cooperative action. After the test oxygen molecule binds, subsequent oxygen molecule binds cooperative binding, which is called the positive cooperation. Hemoglobin is an allosteric protein. Allosteric effectors, inhibitors, or activators can also bind hemoglobin and modulate its activity. This cooperation allows rapid binding of four molecules of oxygen to hemoglobin in the lungs and rapid offloading of oxygen in the tissues. A sigmoidal curve is obtained when percentage saturation is plotted against partial pressure of oxygen. Non-allosteric carrying no substituent linear, that is hyperbole. When the pressure of oxygen is low, hemoglobin resists binding of oxygen at this pressure. The fractional saturation hemoglobin increases more slowly after the oxygen pressure has increased beyond some threshold value. In the lungs, the pressure of oxygen is high. Hemoglobin is completely saturated, and the other way around at the tissues and capillaries. Effectors of hemoglobin binding. 1. The Boyle's effect. Effectors bind to hemoglobin reversibly and shift hemoglobin oxygen binding curve. They are 1. Hydrogen ion leads to pH decrease, thereby creating the Boyle's effect. This is the release of oxygen by hemoglobin as hydrogen ion is increased. It increases the release of oxygen from hemoglobin. In the lung, the pressure of oxygen is high. At increased oxygen, offload of hydrogen and carbon dioxide from hemoglobin is high. In the tissue, pressure of oxygen is low because there is high hydrogen ion and carbon dioxide. This is important because tissues generate carbon dioxide by oxidizing fuel. The proton generated facilitates the release of CO2. 2,3-bisphosphoglycerate. This decreases the affinity of hemoglobin for oxygen binding. 2,3-bisphosphoglycerate binds to the central cavity in deoxyhemoglobin, which is in the T state, thus enhancing the release of oxygen to tissue. The central cavity of hemoglobin is lined with positive charge amino acid, lysine and histidine, while 2,3-bisphosphoglycerate is negatively charged. This arrangement is complementary to 2,3-bisphosphoglycerate. In the absence of 2,3-bisphosphoglycerate, hemoglobin is saturated with oxygen. When 2,3-bisphosphoglycerate is present, oxygen is released to tissue, favoring deoxyhemoglobin. Effectors therefore facilitate dissociation of oxyhemoglobin by pulling hemoglobin away from oxygen. 2-3 bisphosphoglycerate stabilize deoxyhemoglobin, which is in the T state, by forming salt bridges that must be broken prior to conversion to the R state. Types of hemoglobin. We have the A predominant type, which is alpha 2 beta 2, which is found in adult. We have the A2, that is the minor type. It is alpha 2 delta 2. The fetal type, alpha 2 gamma 2, found in fetus. Hemoglobin A is the predominant hemoglobin in adult and have a subunit alpha 2 beta 2. Hemoglobin A2, it is minor in adult and have the subunit alpha 2 delta 2. Hemoglobin F is found in fetus and have the subunit alpha 2 gamma 2. Embryonic hemoglobin alpha 2 epsilon 2, found early in fetal life. Biological significance. Hemoglobin F has a higher oxygen affinity under physiological condition than hemoglobin A. This optimizes the transfer of oxygen from the maternal to the fetus. It binds 2-3 bisphosphoglycerate less strongly than hemoglobin A. During the first 6 months after birth, hemoglobin F drops and hemoglobin A increases. Most adults continue to produce small amount of hemoglobin F. Hemoglobin F has a higher oxygen affinity. In the absence of 2-3 bisphosphoglycerate, hemoglobin is saturated with oxygen. Hemoglobin F combines with 2-3 bisphosphoglycerate and favors deoxyl hemoglobin, thereby releasing oxygen. 2-3 bisphosphoglycerate can combine with hemoglobin A and it will have the lowest oxygen affinity. In the normal hemoglobin A, the terminal amino acids are valine, lysine, histidine at H21. But at fetal life, instead of histidine, it is serine in hemoglobin F, which is negatively charged and so cannot bind with 2-3 bisphosphoglycerate and so binds with oxygen more. The lower stabilization or less formation, no formation of salt bridges, afforded the T state of 2-3 bisphosphoglycerate accounts for hemoglobin F having a higher affinity for oxygen than hemoglobin A. Myoglobin is a globular protein, spherical with 153 amino acid residue in a single polypeptide chain. It is rich in alpha helix disulfide bond. 8 alpha helix are connected to form random curve. It is a single subunit with an oxygen binding site. The amino acids are spatially distributed such that the surface is polar out and non-polar in. The heme group binds oxygen, which wedges it between histidine E7 and F8. The function. Myoglobin binds and stores oxygen in muscle. It binds when it's present at high concentration and releases it when surrounding oxygen level drops. The characteristics. The oxygen binding curve for myoglobin is hyperbolic. The oxygen dissociation curve shows that myoglobin has a higher affinity than hemoglobin in all pressures. That is, the quantity of oxygen binds to myoglobin increases as the concentration of oxygen increases. This is why myoglobin is unsuitable as an oxygen transporting protein, but effective for oxygen storage. Myoglobin is not an allosteric protein. That is why it does not have a sigmoidal curve. Now let's look at abnormal hemoglobin. It is caused by mutation in the hemoglobin structure. There is a substitution of an amino acid in the alpha or beta chain in the normal structure. This change alters the physicochemical properties, that is the oxygen binding capacity, the solubility, and the electrophoretic mobility. These changes in properties have consequences, clinical implications as abnormal hemoglobin are synthesized. The mechanism for synthesizing hemoglobin is inherited from each parent, as in other genetically controlled protein synthesized system, to give normal or abnormal mechanism. The variant hemoglobin is transmitted as a Mendelian recessive character, either heterozygous, that is the trait is carried but does not show classical form of the disease, or homozygous, where the disease is expressed, as in the case of SS. There are over 400 mutant human hemoglobin, but we are going to consider some few. One, hemoglobin M, which is called the methemoglobin. Alpha 87 histidine is replaced by thyroxine. The proximal histidine is changed. Alpha 58 histidine is replaced by thyroxine. Beta 63 histidine is replaced by thyroxine. In the case of these two, the distal histidine is changed. Beta 92 histidine is replaced by thyroxine. The proximal histidine is changed. Ion 2 is replaced by ion 3. That is the methemoglobin. In this mutant hemoglobin, the several variants are A, B, C, D, and E. There is a point mutation in the amino acid to give this variant. A and D shows the proximal histidine, F8, and the alpha and beta chain are mutated. Ion 2 is oxidized to ion 3 to form a non-functional ferric hemoglobin. Y, B, and C shows that the distal histidine, E7, are mutated. Number 2, another mutant human hemoglobin is hemoglobin gum heel. This hemoglobin variant has only 53% of the expected number of heme group. 5 amino acid residue are observed to be missing from the beta chain of the globin. This amino acid may serve to bind the heme in the chain. This leads to no heme in the beta chain. The clinical feature is hemolytic anemia. Number 3, hemoglobin C. The glutamic acid is replaced by lysine. This hemoglobin variant has glutamic acid in the B chain changed to lysine. It leads to formation of an aggregate structure and blunt-headed crystalloid. Pathological effect leads to the reduction of RBC lifespan. Example can be anemia. Hemoglobin S. In this variant, the 6th amino acid, which is the glutamic acid, in the beta chain is substituted with valine, which changes from polar to a non-polar side chain and drastically reduces the solubility of deoxyhemoglobin. This is because hemoglobin S has sticky patches on the outside of the beta chain. Consequently, the viscosity increases and it gels. Fibrous precipitate are formed in bundles, giving rise to a sickle shape. The sickle RBC become trapped in the small blood vessels and blocks it. A local region of low oxygen concentration is created. Circulation is impaired, resulting in the damage of organs, particularly bone marrow and kidney. Sickle RBC are more fragile and have a shorter lifespan than the normal RBC. Anemia is severe when the percentage of the sickle cell increases. Crisis will occur. Heterozygous people are non-symptomatic but are carrier of the trait. Homozygous people inherit an abnormal gene from each parent which is expressed in them. Hemoglobin S occur only in black population, but high incidence occur in West Africa. Separation and identification. The primary structure of the globin leads to differences in electrophoretic mobility. The hemoglobin variants can be identified by paper electrophoresis, sickle cell trait, and malaria. Homozygous people are more prone to malaria than heterozygous people. The therapy: 1. Genetic counseling. 2. Use of 30% hydroxyurea to increase the concentration of the hemoglobin to increase affinity for oxygen. 3. Bone marrow transplant. Let's look at thalassemia. They are genetic disorder of hemoglobin synthesis. The rate of synthesis of one of hemoglobin chain alpha and beta is diminished. There could be an imbalance in the stoichiometry of alpha and beta globin synthesis. It has no link with heme biosynthesis. The traits are inherited in the simple Mendelian fashion as autosomal recessive defects. The disease can be homozygous or heterozygous. It is common in the Mediterranean and Southeast. Characteristics: hemoglobin will not function normally, and there is no oxygen dissociation curve and Boyle's effect. The disease is manifested due to 1. Gene deletion or addition, 2. Instability of mRNA, and this 2 point I just mentioned has to do with the alpha chain. The other point now has to do with the beta chain: defective chain initiation, premature chain termination, underproduction of mRNA. Alpha thalassemia: suppress the alpha chain production. 2 or 1 alpha globin genes are deleted. The hemoglobin has 4 beta chains. Abnormally long alpha globin molecules are present. The chain is 172 instead of 141. This can be due to frame shift mutation. Beta thalassemia: hemoglobin bats lysine in beta 17 becomes a stop codon, UAG. The stop occurs early and beta chains are not synthesized. Hemoglobin has only 4 alpha chain. Mutation is in the mRNA. Alpha and beta chain cannot combine to form hemoglobin. The alpha globin accumulates and precipitates in erythrocyte cell. This damages cell membrane, causes hemolytic anemia, and stimulating erythropoiesis. Hemoglobin Michel rocks. The beta chain is shortened from 146 to 144 amino acid because thyroxine is converted to the stop codon UAG and UAA. This leads to modification of hemoglobin whereby 2,3-DPG cannot bind subsequently oxygen. Affinity increases and oxygen delivery to tissue decreases, and this leads to RBC production. Therapy: frequent blood transfusion, but this may lead to risks of complication of iron overload. Genetic counseling. The end.